G'day everybody, welcome back to Free Kick, and today you're joined by me, Liam, and co-host Mel as we jump into another one of our pre-season team reviews. And today we have the arch rival of everybody in the competition, and it's the Collingwood Magpies. Yep, I said it here first. As much as they're not hated as much in the women's as they are in the men's, I'm still a Bomber supporter at heart. Mel, I sure hope you're not going to be as negative as I have inside the first 30 seconds today. How are you feeling?
Hello, Liam. No, I am good. I'm happy. I like Collingwood. I've been to a lot of their games. I love supporting them alongside Will. Will is a massive Collingwood supporter, so I'm actually quite excited for this one.
Look, that's completely understandable. And I must say that as much as I do like some players there, there was a small part of me that enjoyed seeing them have probably one of their least successful seasons in 2023.
Brutal. Yes, I mean, Collingwood only finished 11th last season, 5 wins and 5 losses, so pretty average with 83% there. But they're coming in for a big season 9 because they've had a lot of change, including a new coach. So we see Sam Wright coming in from North Melbourne, where he was the AFLW assistant coach. Now he is replacing Steve Simmons as the Collingwood AFLW coach, so that'll be exciting. That'll come with some change. In terms of other major ins, we've seen Clenda Howarth come in from Gold Coast, Annie Lee come over from Carlton, Michaela Hyde move over from Fremantle, and Collingwood picked up 3 in the draft. We have Georgia Clark, forward, coming in at pick number 8, Lucille Cronin, pick number 9, and Amber Shute, pick 32, as well as Muran Atkinson as a Category B rookie.
Yes, we nailed the name of the Irish Category B rookie.
Yes, that is due to some good preparation from us. And then, as well as lots of exciting ins, we've also had 5 delisted players. We're saying goodbye to Imogen Evans, Olivia Barber, Sophie Casey, Emily Smith, and Jo Lynn, as well as 2 traded...
Fan fave.
Pardon?
Fan fave Jo Lynn.
Fan fave Jo Lynn,
or
yes.
Pod fave, at least.
Sad to see her leave. And then 2 traded players. We had Ash Brazil. Oh, don't know where I was going with that. We had Ash Brazil go over to Fremantle and Tani Brown go over to Carlton. So overall, yeah, like, I reckon they've done better on their ins than they have on the talent they've lost. So,
yeah. In terms of games that were played last season, they've definitely not lost too many core players. I would say that Sophie Casey has been a pretty important switchblade for them in defence. But as we'll probably talk about later, there are some very important returnees, I reckon, for either from injury or from role change. Now, in terms of role changes, we're going to be talking to someone that has... I would be surprised if she does have one. She's a stalwart of this Collingwood team. She's been a key part of our fantasy teams as well, and this season we got to talk to Britt Benici, is our interviewee today. So I'm going to throw over to Will, who had a chat with Britt about a week ago. Enjoy.
G'day everyone. We are very lucky to have star magpie Britt Benici with us today. Britt, how are you going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am very, very great, thank you. So last season was a bit up and down for the Pies, but it was no doubt better for having yourself and skipper Bree Davey back from your ACL injury. So could you tell us a little bit about your recovery from that injury and how you're tracking this preseason, not coming off an injury, I suppose?
Yeah, the knee itself's really good, which is a positive thing to say, touch wood, but it's been awesome. I haven't really had too much of a setback with it since I've been able to come back playing, which has been awesome. Obviously, the rehab's really tedious and really long, specifically after the changed season and missing 2 seasons. But I think that I'm definitely better off for the time that I had to miss, which I can say now, but at the time probably didn't seem like the case. And this preseason's just been fun to have a full preseason, to just be able to get after it and be out on the track with the girls. It's just... it's a part of footy that you sort of forget about when you're going through such a long rehab. You forget the enjoyment of preseason, which sounds really funny, but I guess I'm sort of an athlete that likes to challenge myself and see where I can get better every single year. And I think that preseason's a perfect opportunity to do that. So it's awesome to have that opportunity again and, yeah, just be able to attack it and get after it. And game's coming up soon, so a few weeks left.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a bit different this preseason. You've got a new coach after 5 seasons under Steve Simmons. That's hard to say. How's the feeling being under the new coach, Sam Wrighton? Sort of what sort of changes has he brought to the club?
Yeah, honestly, I think that Sam's new, but really the whole structure of our program is really new. Like, we have a lot of new coaches which have come in. So when you speak about change, I guess the whole program's been a change. You know, we've
Interesting.
had a new head coach, we've got new S&Cs, we've got new physios, we've got a new doctor, we've got, you know, all of these different changes, which change can be two things. It can be really daunting or it can be really exciting. And our team's just sort of leaning into the change of it, and it's brought a whole lot of new energy. Sam's awesome. He's such a great guy, and has a really good balance of bringing the best out of us as people and as athletes, which is awesome. And obviously, we haven't had the opportunity to play games yet, but our ability to put things together in training has been really evident this preseason. And just trying to get each other better and trying to get our system better and see what we can unlock has been really exciting.
Yeah, nice. And I guess last season was the first one the Pies hadn't really made the final since pre-pandemic, which is quite a while. Has that been something that's been addressed as a group given all that changed, or has it been sort of more trying to build cohesiveness with those changes just to hope the results speak for themselves, I guess?
Yeah, I think the reality is when you don't make finals, it's pretty evident that you didn't go the way you want to go. And you can either sit there and you can talk about it and try and work out what went wrong and sort of go down this real rabbit hole of why or what if or all of the rest, or you can just sort of get after it. And like I said, you can embrace the change. And it's really hard to be the same team when you have a new system and a new structure and a new coach and a new everything. It's really hard to get bunkered down on everything of last season. You sort of have to make a decision really quickly to move forward and to try and make sure that you get the best out of yourself with what you have now. So yeah, you can't shy away. Like, we didn't shy away from the fact last season didn't go the way we wanted it to go, but like, last season's last season. And like I said, you can sort of dwell on it or you can just get on with it. And you know, we're really lucky to have so much change after that season that makes it really easy to just sort of understand that wasn't what we want it to be, and also understand that's not who we're going to be in any way, shape, or form really this year because of how much change we've had within our program.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of change, there's been a fair bit of player movement as well at the club, which I guess means that there's probably spots up for grabs.
Yeah, again, like, that's one of the best parts of our situation at the moment. Like, they're not new players coming into a developed system or structure or environment. We all started the start of this preseason, not really sure what it was going to look like, not really sure how we were going to play or any of the rest. And we're all on that really even playing field. So whether you've been in our program for 9 years or you've been in it for 1 year, you're learning from the start all over again. And that's a really unique dynamic to have in any footy club. And like I said, we're embracing that. Like, how cool and how exciting that after 9 years within a season, you can have everybody just from scratch learning it together, embracing it together, you know, learning, teaching, executing, trialing. That's such a big part of it as well. Yeah, it's exciting. It's sort of cool, to be honest. 9 years in the system, and this is the first year that I'm getting this experience. So really just trying to lean into it.
Yeah, nice. And I guess from a personal point of view, have you seen your role change any way over the preseason? Given everything is a bit up in the air, have you sort of lent into different roles, or are you mostly staying as the classical midfield that you have played? How's your preseason shaping up?
Yeah, I think one thing for every player, specifically sort of as you get older, is you don't want to be one dimensional and you don't want to have one string to your bow. You know that over time, there's only so long you can be explosive or so long that you can be extremely fit or all the rest. Like, unfortunately, the body catches up with you eventually. And longevity in the league means sometimes having additional strings to your bow. So that's something that as I've got older and after coming up out of the ACL injury, I've sort of had to look at my game a little bit and try to understand. So, you know, I like to think that I have an ability to play a really defensive game. And if that finds me, you know, as a back, that's awesome. Or if that finds me as a small forward, that's really awesome as well, because that's one string to my bow that I find could sort of help me steady a bit in any aspect of the field. So, yeah, definitely honing in on midfield craft. But like I said, just trying to add any additional string to my bow that I really can.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been something that's happened a bit over with the Pies across recent seasons. We saw Ruby Schleicher head into the midfield a couple of seasons ago. She's coming back from injury as well. How's she tracking so far this preseason?
Yeah, Rubes has been able to get out on the track a lot preseason as well, and unfortunately had such a distracted year last year with so many different injuries and was constantly interrupted. And it's been really good to see her get a nice run at it through preseason. And preseason really sets you up for so much of the season. So for her to be able to have a run at that and to find herself again, have some opportunity to play throughout the VFL season and just get games under her belt, I think it's going to set her in really good stead for the season.
Yeah, very nice. I guess one of the things that was a bit of a concern for the Pies last season was the ability to kick a winning score. And that's just been made all the more hard by Nell Morris-Dalton going down during the week. How have you as a group sort of gone about addressing being a more highly scoring team?
Yeah, again, like new system, new structure, new everything sort of lets go of the pressure of probably not being able to hit the scoreboard last year, because instead of dwelling on what we weren't able to do last year, we're really looking into what we can do this year. Nellie going down with her back is really hard for us as a collective, because Nellie is such a great individual within our program. And as teammates, you just want to see everybody get the opportunities that they deserve and they work so hard for. So we're up in our arms around Nellie. This is unfortunately one part of the game which is so cruel, and we'll continue to support her in whatever that looks like. And I'm sure the coaches will put together what that looks like, I guess, from their side of things. But as a player, all I'm focused about at the moment is, you know, that's never nice. And especially, I guess, after experiencing it yourself in terms of having to come off, a season-long injury, you just want to wrap your arms around them and make sure they're okay. And that's what we're really focused on, making sure we do.
Despite that unfortunate injury, I guess it does potentially open up some opportunities for other players. A player that we've been quite excited to hear a bit about is Georgia Clark, a high draftee who is apparently an excitement machine. Can you tell us a bit about how she's tracked in her first preseason as an AFLW player?
Yeah, G's been awesome. She's just come in. She's hit the ground running. She just brings this sense of calmness, I would say, to the group, which is really awesome. And on field as well. It's awesome to have a option up there when you're streaming out of the midfield that you sort of know that you can just pop it down to her and she's always going to compete, and that's the most you can ever ask for anyone. So I think that, yeah, again, ability to have a preseason with her, start to form a bit of connections, being really good, and I can't wait to see what she starts to deliver. She's definitely going to be a great marking forward for us for the season coming.
And another player who I'm quite interested to hear about in that forward line is you've brought in Kalinda Howarth, who is an All-Australian caliber forward, and that trade sort of went through pretty quietly, which I was quite surprised by given the quality that she can provide. How's she fitting in with the group so far? And she kind of fits in with what you were saying about being able to play a lot of different roles. She's played pretty much everywhere for the Suns, so it'd be interesting to see how she goes for the Pies.
Yeah, she's really just putting her head down, working hard, and smashing out her ACL rehab at the moment. And we're really looking forward to when she's able to hit the ground running with training and with games. That's going to be awesome. She's working so hard. You'd never walk into the club without seeing her in there being really doing her due diligence with her rehab and making sure she ticks absolutely every single box. It's been awesome to see her working in with Dan McStay. And obviously he's come back really strong as well. So you know that she's doing all the right work, and it's just going to be, I guess, a bit of a process in terms of the boxes you have to tick for an ACL. Yeah. But I'm so excited for what she looks like when she comes into our team, because she's exciting. She brings energy. She just walks around the place with a smile. Nothing's ever too hard or too much for her. So I think at the absolute minimum, she brings excitement and happiness to our environment. And I can't wait to see what the maximum of what she's going to bring to our program is going to be, because I think that, like you said, she can be such a dynamic player, and I see that from her already and can't wait to see it sort of come games.
Yeah, fantastic. We might leave it there, but we do have one last question that we love to ask our interviewees, which is Who's been the most exciting person to watch so far this preseason and you reckon looks set for a really massive year in 2024?
Yeah, for me, there's probably two. Kindy's got to be one of them. I think that an ACL injury demands so much of a person, but what it also does is make them a better athlete. And I think she achieved so much in her career prior to her knee injury, and just watching her take it head on and just take literally every single thing in her stride and just get to work, that work ethic's going to hold her in such good stead come the season. So I'm really excited for her, and I'm really excited for Eliza James. I think she's really quick, she's dynamic, and on top of that, she's really starting to believe in herself and see where she's able to go in our competition. So I'm really excited to see what she can do.
Yeah, there's a couple of really exciting players there. So really looking forward to seeing how the Pies shape up in 2024. Britt Bonici, thank you so much for joining us.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Wow, that was a great chat. Albeit one that was a little bit quicker than we usually have, I still think that we're going to get some nuggets of gold from that conversation. I'm going to throw straight to you, Mel. Who's the most important player from Collingwood in 2024?
I think we are all so excited that this player is back on the fantasy relevant list and number one and listed as a defender. It's Ruby Slysher. We didn't get to see a lot of Ruby Slysher. We didn't get to see a lot of Ruby Slysher last year because of injury. First, she was nursing a long foot injury that took a while to heal, and then she injured herself again doing her PCL. So she only ended up playing two games last season. She was also listed as a mid, that made her particularly unexciting. But she comes into this season listed as a defender, priced at 61. She is a very interesting player because she's got a massive ceiling of 128 that we were able to see in season six. She's actually listed as a defender and playing as a defender, so that's also exciting. And we know that she can average up there in the 70s, which means that she's got at least 10 points of upside on her. The other great thing about Ruby is that she was one of the first ever friends of the pod. She's actually been someone we've been following the career of for quite a while, because Will has been sponsoring Ruby, I think, since the start of her AFLW career. So for her to be back and be fantasy relevant is very exciting. Do we think she'll be running through the midfield at all this season?
I think it would be a mistake if they did. And I think that the decision to do so in previous seasons was down to the injuries to Bree Davey and Britt Bonici.
Yeah, more of a
need. The fact that they were both missing, it was a definite need for a bigger bodied player. I think we already saw at the back end of last year, Bree Davey was someone that was chopping and changing in and out of the midfield. And I don't think they've necessarily nailed their midfield balance, but I just don't think Ruby's the play. They really struggled for defenders last year. And she played one game in the VFLW this season, so this preseason, and that was as a defender again. So I'm pretty confident she's going to be a defender. She's going to be relevant. I think if you're thinking of a comparison, like, and if you played last year, Ruby is as good a scorer as Charlie Thomas. And that's the type of player that she is as well. She's a really good user of the football by foot. She streams running off halfback. She's the key cog back there. A lot of other players that we're probably going to talk about today relied on her to be their source of scoring because she'd be able to move the ball so comfortably. So I think Ruby's a fascinating option. She's priced at 61 this year with the discount that she got off her average from season seven.
Yeah.
I think she's a pretty comfortable lock for my team at this stage of the preseason. I don't know about you, Mel, but I'm pretty confident that she'll be in there by the time we roll into round one.
Yeah, I mean, she's one of the best defender options that we have coming in. And I do love it when we want a defender who's listed as a defender and genuinely plays defense. That always makes it far more interesting to watch. Yeah, no, loving Ruby Slysher. Definitely number one most fantasy relevant player at Collingwood this season.
And thank you for just giving me the perfect launching point to go and chat about our second most relevant player. Now, it's a name that we've already mentioned today. Who is it?
Yeah, so we've got Kalinda Howarth. So recently joined the Pies in the off-season. She's an interesting one because she's underpriced, which leads to a lot of value anyway, but she's also a very relevant player for Collingwood, a great addition to their squad this season. So she's a forward who's priced at 43, but this is after averaging 51 in season seven and scoring a 58 in season three. Scoring 53 in season eight. The numbers are not working for me today. So coming in as a forward, she's a great gift for Collingwood as they really need that forward depth. But as she only got 153 score last season, that was because she did her ACL pretty quickly while she was playing at the Gold Coast. So we didn't get to see a lot of her, but with a lot of time to heal, we're hoping she's coming in fit and ready to go. She's one of those players that is, we like to describe as being the classier players. She's someone that the Pies are really going to need as a target inside 50. So the combination of being a great slot into the forward line and a huge discount, knowing that she can add at least 5 to 10 points just on her average if she gets the role, she's a good option here.
Can't disagree with anything you said there. And I think the main thing is we're desperate for forwards this year that we know are going to be good enough. And I think Kindy Howarth is a very, very high-class footballer. And we know that in previous seasons at the Gold Coast, we'll get thrown in the midfield, we'll get thrown across halfback and still score very capably and have a ceiling above 80. Now, I don't know if we can expect like superstar-level scoring. I don't think she's going to be a mega scorer this year.
Yeah.
But I still think she's going to be a good option for us.
I think the value here comes from the fact that she's underpriced. I mean, so there's definite value there getting back to her long-term average. Whether she goes above that would be awesome as well. But yeah, yet to see. Well, for my third most fantasy relevant player, bouncing straight off that is another player whose value definitely comes from being underpriced. We've got Lauren Butler. So a defender who spent a lot of last season injured. First, she had her foot in a boot.
Oh. Lauren Butler with her foot in a boot.
So foot in a boot for the first four games of the season. Came in, played a few games, and then ended the season with another injury. So with only four games under her belt last season, she's coming in with essentially rookie priced. So 28. But we know that from season seven, before all of these injuries, she was averaging 58 with 92% time on ground. So she's pretty key back there in defence. If she can come in fit and healthy and get back into that role, I mean, 28 to 58, that's a huge gain. The rookie price is very tempting.
Yeah, we don't often get players who present immediately 30 points of value, but because she played a bunch of games, but her TOG was really, really low, she finished with a game against Geelong where she was injured on 13 with just 31% time on ground.
Mm-hmm.
She becomes someone that if we don't see, you know, a super basement like a 300K-er appear for us, I think that as your either bench defender or your D5, particularly if we're looking to try and maximise value, because I think there are going to be a bunch of good options in the 50, 60, 70 range in defence, I think rounding it out with Lauren Butler is going to be a really popular thing to do, and I don't think I could talk people away from it. I'll obviously want to see what it looks like in the preseason because it was definitely a lack of marks last year that was affecting her scoring and a lack of possessions, but I think those two go hand in hand. If we see a game style that is at all conducive.
It was a lack of those, but it's also just battling injuries and being like potentially not fully healed and then going again. I mean, she did end season seven on a great ceiling of 75. And her trajectory up until then, like she's quite experienced, 40 plus games under her belt, trajectory of scores that is just trending upwards. So for a rookie price player to have someone so experienced with a decent ceiling and a very low average due to some injuries, I think I'm pretty confident with her. Although I have said that before and then been hurt. So
Live to regret it. Mm. Well, we're going to move to someone that we're probably not as confident in, but still presents some fascinating value. Mel, who is it?
Yeah, it's Tani White. She was a favourite of mine back in season seven when I got to ride the wave of her massive score increase. So she's someone that we've seen it from before.
I think it was season six even. It was the first season we ever played. The first game of AFLW
fantasy we ever had
was round one. It was St Kilda against Richmond, and I think Tani White scored 100. And you were the only one of the four of us that had her in your team.
And it was fantastic. And since then, I've been a huge Tani White fan. But I'm particularly... Oh, and then she was at our season seven interview. But I'm particularly a fan of Tani White now. because since she moved over from St Kilda, like she had some pretty good midfield time at St Kilda. We saw her get an average of 65, plenty of CBAs. But then in her first season at Collingwood last year, she barely had any CBAs. She only really got around them in the last game. And we saw her average drop down to 52. We also saw her ceiling drop. Like it just was a pretty flat season for her overall. Now we've got a new coach and we've seen some promising results from her in the off season with regards to CBAs. If Tani can kind of push her way into that midfield a bit more, we know she's got the ceiling, she's got the skill. If we can see her get back to her St Kilda performances in Collingwood, that could be a pretty good jump there.
Yeah, and I think it's the fact that you maybe even undersold it. Season 6, she was averaging over 6.5 tackles and basically 70 points per game. So she's got 17 points of value on that. Now, I think that she presents a good defensive midfielder for Collingwood. It's not a guarantee. It's not a lock. I'm assuming that's why she's not higher up on your rankings. But I think as a result, she's going to be someone we have to watch in the preseason and in the match simulations, because I don't think there are going to be a lot of great options in that kind of priced at 50 or 60 point range in the midfield. And if you're trying to construct your team so that you are forced to some degree to have a player priced in that range, I think Tani is one of a few options that you could look at and say, okay, this is someone we know that's gone, more than 15 points higher than this before.
Yeah. Whether or not we're really putting the opportunity for that to increase down to some of the decisions that are coming in the midfield with the new coach. I mean, you might have noted the omission of Bree Davey up until now as a very well-known name midfielder, previously elite, but the opportunities for her to go above really come down to how the midfield gets put together. So, Tani's a watch, but a name to recognise when you're staring at that list of lots of players being like, oh, who do I pick in my mid-price madness?
Yeah, or at the very least, watch for her stats and watch the Collingwood game to see how she's looking, because she is a supremely good tackler, and we know that that's a way you can really anchor some good scores. Now, we're going to go from someone that we've watched with interest for many seasons now to someone that we've not seen a lick of to date. And Mel, who's your number five?
Yeah, so for number five, we've actually got a rookie on this list, which we don't always do. We've got Georgia Clark. She's coming in as a forward, and we know that Collingwood need forwards. She averaged 88 in the Coates League. She's someone that we know can kick some goals, played a couple of VFLW games as well. The flag here, she's obviously got the talent and is going to be able to fill that slot for Collingwood. The question here is around job security. We got quite excited last season about a recent Collingwood rookie in Larry Morris, who didn't really have the role security or the great score in her first early games. So Georgia Clark's one to watch. She could be a good breakout, but I mean, and we did hear in the interview that she's going to start is a lock to start, because that's the other big flag.
There's some job security.
But I see her being more of a good bench forward to start off with, rather than someone that you're putting on your field straight away, just because there is some uncertainty there.
Yeah, I think the only risk is that she's going to be a little bit more expensive as a high draft pick.
Pick
8 in the draft, but I still like her role security this year. And, she managed to score a 76 in the VFLW this preseason. She can take marks, she can lay some tackles. The question will be, if we don't think Collingwood are going to improve and they're going to get worse, then maybe we don't want to be picking a forward, because it's a real struggle to... Don't kick the forwards. Yep. I think it's one that I've got high on my watch list for forwards, because I don't know if we've got many good forward rookie priced options this year, or many forwards at all.
Yeah, I mean, Collingwood is not the most exciting team to be picking a forward for, given their middling.
And their biggest issue is the fact that they can't score points. But then again, North Melbourne have been a great side when it comes to the ability of their forwards to put it together. So I wouldn't put it past some kind of improvement this season. Now, on the topic of improvement this season, I'm going to throw to myself with the host special. And it's a name that annoyed a lot of people last year. And it's Lauren Butler, who was a popular premium pick who never really fired at any point.
I think you mean Jordan Allen.
Oh, Jordan Allen, of course.
I was that's like, how you mean my pick number three?
Yep, Jordy Allen. Jordy Allen is who I was talking about. Jordan Butler. So she was a very popular premium pick last year and wasn't in my side. That's why I've completely forgotten her name. But never really fired. So she had an average of 58 in season 7 and then only managed to average 52.5 last year. I think, though, that she was the kind of key marker of someone who played every game last year but showed exactly what it would be like to play in a Collingwood that was no longer a finals team. I think that they really struggled to move the ball out of halfback and out of their D50. They didn't have particularly good links in the chain, and the kicks that were being normally, you know, being made pretty comfortably to Geordie on a halfback / wing weren't really making it there, and she was often going missing in games. I think it's the fact that I like her just as a name to watch, because we know that when she plays in a defensive line with Lauren Butler and with Ruby, all of them are, you know, Butler and Allen are both close to 59, 60 averaging players. And this is before the longer games as well. So her 58.5 average in season 7 becomes a 64.5 if you scale it up for longer game time. So I think that she's someone that we know can score well in the group of players she's now going to be playing with predominantly. I think as a result, she's a name that I will definitely be watching for, and I'll be looking at their schedule early to see if she's a player that I can pick if she's got a good run.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like we were quite excited about her last year, or when we knew that Lauren Butler and Ruby Slysher weren't going to be playing, to see how that could increase her opportunity. And then it almost backfired for us. And
almost, I would say it unequivocally backfired.
Yes, but now we're excited to see how can her role change and her points increase now that she's back in that initial position where the whole team are together again. It's an interesting one, but I feel like we almost learnt from our opportunity last season as maybe one to stay away from, but we were excited for a reason, I guess, if we see some changes in the back line. I guess it's a good name to know, but yeah, I'm a little bit burnt from what situation are we actually looking for here where she's going to be scoring better?
It's her marks in transition, and it's her space on the wing, and it's her kicks coming from Ruby. And I think that means that if you've been listening to this episode, you're going to be watching the midfield balance of Collingwood in the preseason, the defensive structure for Collingwood in the preseason, and then the roles of multiple forwards for Collingwood in the preseason. So I think that means you're only not watching for the ruck balance at Collingwood in the preseason this year. That such is the way with a new coach and a team that definitely struggled with injuries and underperformance last year.
Which is an interesting thing not to be looking for, because the ruck balance last year was a ruck that then shuffled into tallback and then key forward as required and essentially never left the ground in Sabrina Frederick. So
It's very balanced if the scales are just one way.
Yeah. I'm actually interested to watch that line too.
Yes. Well, that's unfortunately all that we've got time to talk about Collingwood for today. Make sure that you're following us on Instagram and on Twitter at FreeKickWPod to get all of our content, including our predicted best 21s. Make sure you're listening and watching your podcast feeds for our next episode, where you're going to be seeing our episode on the Richmond Tigers. So we're following a Melbourne Giant with another Melbourne Giant. Be sure to listen in then and enjoy.